everybody is all smiles. Now, members, just to get an indication of the next two meetings, of course today, and I want to welcome the acting head of the DPCI, General Matakata, the Deputy National Commissioner of Policing, General Masamola, and the Western Cape Provincial Commissioner, General Julian, is their delegations. Welcome. We've got an indication that the National Commissioner is appearing at Scopa this morning, so he won't be with us, and we will then get the briefings from the respective delegations. Now, members, in terms of the topics, again, we're going to deal with the DPCI briefing that is outstanding, that one on the two specialized units. After that, we will take the Western Cape presentation because it's related to the DPCI issue with relation to the firearms audit and the progress with regard to the investigations in terms of Bevel South and Mitchell's Plain. And then the last presentation is a very important one. We have it on an annual basis to get an indication of the festival season operations. I think last year was a good success, and SAPS did very well. So I think the purpose also this morning is to get an indication what is the plan, what is the modus operandi, and that members can also engage on that matter to ensure that the festival season is crime-free. Then, members, just a reminder, then on Friday at 9 o'clock, we've got still the CI matters before us. We still need to deal with the outstanding questions from the last crime intelligence briefing, and also we need a report from CI on those disciplinary cases, but also we've invited the Minister of Police because he is accountable to the committee, and he's also made some statements on the turnaround within CI. So we want, before we leave for recess, get an indication from the Minister whether that plan is on track. So members, that will be then the 2 days along it going forward. So I'm just going to ask then the Honourable Members to introduce themselves, and then we will start first with General Matakata to introduce the delegations. The other delegations we can introduce as we move along. Also welcome Mr. Groenewald, Honourable Groenewald. Yes.
Goedemorgen, dames en heren. Mijn naam is Angie Muliwati. Ik is al lid van het comité en ik dank u.
Good morning. My name is Philip Mutango, member of committee.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Pindile Mola, a member of the Control Committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. I'm Zakhele Mbele, member of the committee.
Good morning. My name is Jerome Marke, a member of this committee.
Goeiemôre, ek is Pieter Groenewald en dankie vir die Z-lis. Ek het 'n goeie stappie gehad na Guru op Sente. Thank you, Chairperson.
Mashallah, ne mchimbiza mshumo ndine mabija alivuani murado wa komiti hei ya chipolisa ndoribu.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. General Matakata, you're welcome to introduce your delegation.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members. Morning. I am Lieutenant General Yolisa Matakata, the Acting Head of the DPCI. With me on my left is Major General Lidwaba, who is the Head of Organized Crime Investigation. Next to her is Brigadier Ramova, who is the Provincial Commander of Organized Crime Investigations in Western Cape. Behind her is Brigadier Oliver, who is the Provincial Commander of Commercial Crime Investigations in Western Cape. Behind him, we have Brigadier Matthews, who is our Strategic Management Commander. Next to her is Captain Sonansi from our office. Thanks.
Thank you very much, General Matakata. I think without further ado, we can go through the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Major General Lidwaba will take us through that presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. I'm here to make a presentation in terms of the two bureaus. The scope is clear and visible. I'll start with my introduction. The purpose of this presentation is to inform the Portfolio Committee on Police regarding development of the South African Narcotic Enforcement Bureau, commonly known as SANEP, as well as the National Bureau for Illegal Firearms Control and Priority Violence Crime Unit, commonly known as NBIF CPVC, within the component Serious Organized Crime. I'll give my background. The establishment of the drugs, SANEP and firearms unit were brought into existence in 2016 after the announcement made by the President, Honorable J.G. Zuma. Interim capacity has been placed nationally to deliver on the mandate, and there has been successes in relation to arrest as well as seizures since the inception. The unit adopted a threat-based and integrated approach to effectively and holistically address the entire supply chain by focusing on the following drug outlets, illicit cultivation, illicit production or manufacturing, human couriers, drug trafficking networks, emerging trends. So this is the illicit drug value chain. I'll start with the drug outlets, which refers to the local suppliers or the runners in clubs and street dealers. The enabling sectors associated are the social economic sectors and the unemployment, the use of vulnerable children or youth in the supply chain and collection process. About illicit cultivation and the manufacturing, it refers to the domestic drug laboratories associated with precursor chemicals along with its hydroponic cannabis laboratories that are established with urban and small holdings, e.g. indoor nurseries. Illegal cannabis cultivation is a national threat contributing to socioeconomic instability. About human couriers, form part of the bigger drug trafficking network. Key factors associated with human couriers are the socioeconomic factors of poverty and unemployment. They could fall in different levels of drug value chain as regional, national, and international distributors. DPCI at the start established a capacity at the three major airports and strategically with certain border posts. Through the intervention, 70 couriers were arrested. As we speak, there is also operations where we are progressing with to address those behind utilizing human couriers to transport drugs at ports of entry. Drug trafficking network is part of the organized crime structure at the national and transnational level that support and assist the increase in drug markets. The money flow by importing and exporting, concealing and financing thereof. South Africa is the source, the transit and destination country. Large-scale trafficking of precursor chemicals, cocaine, heroin, ecstasy, and or other designer drugs into and out of South Africa is ongoing. It is addressed through our major investigations and projects. We are also participating in joint operations with Interpol and foreign law enforcement agencies. About emerging trends, there are designer drugs disguised specifically made to counter existing drug legislation by criminal syndicates to avoid detection and prosecution. These drugs can either be new forms of older illicit drugs or could have completely new chemical formulas. Nyaupe is an example of this threat, which on regular intervals is mixed with one or other new ingredients coming in various names such as wunga or sugars, and also packaged from loops to straws, and in recent times in capsules. Spice or K2 is also an identified new threat. The main role of DPCI is to take the lead in identifying and early warnings of the new emerging drug threat to forensic science laboratory, parliament, and other stakeholders and communities. The interim capacity has been placed at national and provincial levels as follows. Head office with a capacity of 14, Eastern Cape with a capacity of 24, Free State with a capacity of 14, Gauteng with a capacity of 34, KwaZulu-Natal with a capacity of 25, Limpopo with a capacity of 11, Mpumalanga 6, Northwest 10, Northern Cape 9, Western Cape 11. These capacities in total add up to the sum of 158. SANEP successes from the 1st of April up to March 2017, nationally 698 cases and 948 arrests with 160 convictions and with 48 laboratories dismantled. SANEP successes from April 2017 to September 2017 with 164 cases with 246 arrests with 65 convictions and 25 laboratories dismantled. National successes arrests for the last financial year as indicated. So the performance per focus area since the inception to September this year. Drug outlets in November 2016 from information received the following operations: Georgie, Dracula, Dance, Departure and Don't Listen was conducted in the Cambridge policing area of Eastern Cape with the focus on drug outlets that were selling to school children. 10.903 kilogram dacha and small levels of cocaine and cat with a total value of 334,000 and the arrest of 13 individuals. With illicit cultivation, the latest identified trend is the illicit cultivation of cannabis either in hydroponic facilities or indoor nurseries. 32 hydroponic cannabis laboratories of this nature were dismantled. DPCI Eastern Cape reacted to information of a farmer cultivating cat plants, and the leaves of the plants were sold to the Somalian nationals. 1,200 cat plants were seized to the value of 70,000 rands, and two South Africans were arrested. Two accused were convicted and sentenced to 50,000 or 2 years imprisonment and a further 3 years imprisonment suspended for 5 years on condition of not repeating the offense. On the 18th of August this year, SANEP head office together with SANEP, Port Shepstone, Gauteng, K9 and Crime Intelligence conducted ad hoc disruptive operation from information received on an indoor clandestine lab in a basement of a residential home to grow cultivation of cannabis. Two South African and one Serbian national were arrested. With Human Couriers, DPCI strategically established SANEP units at Cape Town, Durban and Oshia airports as well as certain border posts. SANEP together with SAPS units have arrested 70 drug couriers. Drug trafficking networks. On the 21st of June this year, SANEP Western Cape acted on information of drug trafficking activities where drugs were packaged in wine boxes from the wine purchased at the farm. On transnational level, a European trafficking network is being investigated. The total weight of the heroin was 963 kg with an estimated value of 200 million. A Dutch individual has been arrested. Drug trafficking networks at Kossi Bay Case 8/06/2017. A vehicle was intercepted during the search. A false compartment which concealed several bags of heroin worth 104 million was found. Through further investigation, 3 more people were arrested. At Gomati Podcast 124-4 of 2016, heroin concealed in the panels of a vehicle was seized. A total amount of 58.1 kilogram bags of Afghanistan heroin to the value of 58 million. The vehicle had crossed the border from Mozambique. The following on Imagine Trends 5 or K2 or the zombie drug is a new drug in the market worldwide. It is a marijuana designed drug in which herbs, incense or other leafy materials are sprayed with lab synthesized liquid chemicals to mimic the effect of tetrahydrocannabinol. Nyaupe, unga or sugars in the form of poly drugs. The drug is initially packaged as loops, as we can see on the slide, and moving into a much more user-friendly way with packaging in using straws. In the most recent move came the cost-cutting changes of packaging processes using effective tools for the packaging in capsules. Key developments. The development of the draft National Narcotics Integrated Action Plan is a multifaceted approach with NICOC. The development on the new National Drug Master Plan for 2018 until 2022. A continuous training of members on countering narcotics and illicit drug trafficking and precursor chemical investigation course is ongoing. Lastly, in conclusion, the DPCI is committed to proper establish the SANEP and the NBVCI to ensure the overall supply reduction of drugs and the reduction of illegal firearms in circulation. The National Strategic Focus, National Bureau for Illegal Firearms Control and Priority Violent Crime has been a developmental issue. Since inception, the DPCI management has prioritized the immediate establishment of members from our existing capacity within serious organized crime environment. Through extensive consultation with various operational environments within SAPS and the SAPS National Firearms Strategy, it was determined that the following national strategic focus were areas where the most pragmatic and effective way to holistically address the proliferation of firearms and the priority violence crimes threat impacting South Africa. Criminal linkages through forensic practice refers to the investigation of threats identified through IBs, DNA and fingerprints linkages. The illegal firearms trafficking and networks refers to the investigation of the illicit manufacture and trafficking of illegal firearms and explosives, both nationally and transnationally, by organized crime networks. Where firearms and explosive catches are discovered, said cases must also be investigated by the National Firearms Bureau. The illegal exporting or importing of firearms and or ammunition as well as explosives. The criminal abuse and vulnerability of firearms in state control refers to the theft and or robbery of firearms and or explosives from the state control armory storage facilities. This includes SAPS stating exhibit stores. Criminality in the control of legal firearm stocks refers to the investigations of vulnerabilities in the control of legal firearm stocks being criminally exploited by legal owners of said stocks, e.g. firearm dealers and security companies, as well as fraud and corruption in the firearm control process. for example, designated firearms officer system, armories, port of entry, etc. Targeted police killings refers to the killing of police officers for his or her firearm, or where it is suspected that police officer was killed due to an official investigation that the officer was pursuing. All the cases where DPCI members killed must be investigated by this bureau. Prioritized violent crime where firearms are used refers to the investigation of prioritized violent crime where firearms and or explosives are used. This includes all prioritized violent crimes currently being investigated by the respective provinces and cash in transit robberies as per DPCI directive dated 11 August 2017. The interim capacity has been placed at national and provincial level. In Eastern Cape, we have a total number of 25 with 6 officers, 19 non-commissioned officers. Free State, 32, 7 officers, 25 non-commissioned officers. Gauteng, 59, 18 officers, 41 non-commissioned officers. KZN, 40, 12 officers, 28 non-commissioned officers. Limpopo, 14, 5 officers and 9 non-commissioned officers. 25, 6 officers, 19 non-commissioned officers. Northwest, 13, 2 officers, 11 non-commissioned officers. Northern Cape, 6, 5 officers, 1 non-commissioned officer. Western Cape, 28, 9 officers and 16 non-commissioned officers. Their operational performances are as follows from the 1st March up to the 31st March this year. Firearms recovered, 25 in Eastern Cape. Ammunition, 223. Arrest, 187. Convictions, 35. Free State, firearms recovered, 1,499. Ammunition recovered, 42,881. With 82 arrests, 34 convictions. Gauteng, 119 firearms recovered, 1,093 ammunition recovered, 57 arrests, 7 convictions. KZN, 287 firearms recovered, 17,322 ammunition, arrests, 74 with 7 convictions. Limpopo, 2 firearms recovered with 2 arrests. Mpumalanga, 13 firearms, 139 ammunition, 61 arrests, 1 conviction. Northern Cape, 7 arrests. Northwest, 15 firearms recovered, 273 ammunition. Western Cape, 20 firearms recovered, ammunition, 53 arrests, 10 convictions, with a total number of 1,980 firearms nationally and 61,984 ammunition. 516 arrests with 94 convictions. The National Bureau for Illegal Firearms Control and Priority Violent Crime total number is 594. Arrest, 101 convictions, firearms, 1,980, ammunition, 61,984. A breakdown of confiscated firearms types, 22 pistols in Eastern Cape, 3 rifles. Free State, 642 pistols, 368 revolvers, 394 rifles, 94 shotguns, 68 pistols, 19 revolvers, this is for Gauteng, 5 rifles, 11 shotguns, 8 AK-47s, 2 semi-auto AK-47s, 2 R5, 2 submachine guns, semi-auto versions, 2 other semi-auto versions. KwaZulu-Natal, 182 pistols, revolvers 29, rifles 30, shotguns 27, AK-47, 6, 1R5, 1R4, 9 submachines or semi-automatic, 2 other semi-auto versions. 3 pistols from Mpumalanga, 4 AK-47s, 3 R5, 2 R4s, 1 R1. Northwest, 15 pistols. Western Cape, 16 pistols, 3 revolvers, 1 AK-47. The total number nationally is 949 pistols, 419 revolvers, 432 rifles, 133 shotguns, 19 AK-47s, 2 semi-auto AK-47s, 7 R5, 3 R4, 1 R1, 11 semi-auto version, 4 rifle semi-auto version. The operational performance from April 1st, 2017 to September 2017. Eastern Cape recovered 9 firearms, 17 ammunition, 22 arrests, 18 convictions. Free State, 8 firearms, 444 ammunition, 21 arrests, 3 convictions. Explosives, or 11 explosives. For Gauteng, 40 firearms, 544 ammunition, arrest 17, conviction 16, explosives 272. With KwaZulu-Natal, 250 firearms, 9,712 ammunition, arrest 62, convictions 13, explosives 10. With Limpopo, 5 firearms, 572 ammunition, 6 arrests, 14 explosives. Mpumalanga, 7 firearms, 116 ammunition, 33 arrests, 13 convictions, 2 explosives. Northwest, 3 firearms, 141 ammunition, 3 arrests, 1 conviction. Northern Cape, none. Western Cape, 74 firearms recovered, 1,817 ammunition, 11 arrests, 2 explosives. The total number nationally of firearms recovered is 396. Ammunition is 557,299. Arrests 175. Convictions 63. Explosives 311. The National Bureau for Illegal Firearms Control and Priority Violence Crimes, the total number of, from April to 30 September this year is 175 arrests, 63 convictions. It's the same. Let me go to the next slide. Breakdown, confiscated firearms type. Eastern Cape, 6 pistols, 1 revolver, 1 rifle, 1 R4, Free State, 2 pistols, 1 revolver, 5 R5, Gauteng, 9 pistols, 4 revolvers, 12 rifles, 10 shotguns, 2 AK-47s, 1 commercial, semi-automatic, 1 R5, 1 submachine gun. KwaZulu-Natal, 25 pistols, 1 revolver, 3 rifles, 4 shotguns, 7 AK-47, 46 commercial, semi-automatic, 2 R5, 160 other rifles. Limpopo, 5 pistols. Mpumalanga, 3 pistols, 1 revolver, 1 rifle, 2 other assault rifles. Northern Cape, none. Northwest, 3 pistols. Western Cape, 39 pistols, 14 revolvers, 3 rifles, 8 shotguns, 1 AK-47, 9 R5. And the totals nationally, 92 pistols, 22 revolvers, 20 rifles, 22 shotguns, 10 AK-47, 47 commercial semi-automatic, 17 R5, 3 R4, 1 submachine, other rifles 162. significant achievements per focus since inception up to September this year. Case number 73/05/2015 focus illegal firearm trafficking and network. The case against Raids and Lions on charges of racketeering and contravention of the Firearms Control Act is appearing in Western Cape High Court and is remanded to 16 February 2018 for the pre-trial conference. A transnational investigation with significant seizures has recently been initiated relating to the illegal importation of firearms in order to safeguard the integrity of the investigation. Further details cannot be provided at this stage. Michelle Plain Cast 1647 of 8/2017 and Belleville Cast 270 of 8/2017 focus area criminal abuse and vulnerability of firearms in state control. The Bureau for Firearms, Illegal Firearms Western Cape is investigating the cases relating to the theft of firearms from the Belleville South and Mitchell's Plain SAPS premises in August 2017. By 30 September 2017, two of the stolen firearms, one from the each case, were recovered and a repeat drug offender was arrested for the illegal possession of one of the firearms. The other firearm was found abandoned. The result of touch DNA and fingerprints examination are still awaited. Bloemfontein Case 127 of 9/2015 criminality focus on criminality in the control of legal firearm stock. DPCI serious organized crime executed a search warrant at a firearm dealer and seized 1,496 firearms at the premises of a firearm dealer. The owner is currently facing an illegal possession of firearms and negligent loss of firearms charge in the High Court in Bloemfontein. Subsequent investigations showed that firearms registered in the name of the dealer and for which the accused could not account for were used in violent crimes committed by illegal miners in the Gauteng and Northwest. Firearms that were destined for destruction and had been illegally diverted from the destruction process were also found at the premises. Targeted police killing during the period, the Bureau were responsible for solely dealing with police killings as a national priority, where 121 suspects were arrested, 13 convicted and 13 sentenced to life imprisonment. Currently, police killings are investigated by detectives. National firearm strategy intended impact and outcome. The following are the objectives, 1 up to 4. The main one is to reduce illegal pull and criminal use of firearms. National Firearms Task Team, the sub-National Firearms Task Team developed to specifically reduce the proliferation of firearms that are contributing to priority violence crimes. The National Firearms Task Team will specifically focus on reducing the illegal pull and criminal use of firearms as the third pillar in the SAPS National Firearms Task Team. The National Firearms Team is to operationalize the centralized coordination nationally and provincially, ensure the conducting of intelligence-led disruptive operations, court-directed investigations, and to provide support that will be required in all firearms and related investigations under the auspices of this task team. A draft national joint action plan is being developed with the input of all stakeholders to effectively and professionally operationalize the National Firearms Task Team at national and provincial level. On the 21st September 2017, Lieutenant General Matagata forwarded an instruction to all provincial heads to establish integrated provincial firearms task teams in line with the National Firearms Task Team. by the 31st of October 2017. The National Firearms Task Team will embrace a collaborative approach to optimize cooperation, coordination, and communication between the key stakeholders. A work session was held with the provincial commanders, organized crime, and the National Bureau for Illegal Firearms Control, priority crime, violent crime, to reinstate the Bureau and lay the groundwork of the National Firearms Task Team. Within a support, within a short period of 1 month, this has led to a marked improvement in the performance of the provinces. In conclusion, the DPCI is committed to proper establishment of the SANEP and the National Bureau for Illegal Firearms Control and Priority Violent Crime to ensure the overall supply reduction of drugs and to the reduction of illegal firearms in circulation, respectively. The National Firearms Task Team will also be invaluable to effectively addressing the illegal firearms threat, to reassure the Portfolio Committee that their consent and guidance will be acted upon. I thank you.
Thank you, General Dawa. General Matakata, anything to add?
No, thank you, Chair. We'll take the questions.
Okay. Thank you. Members, we will go three further first round, the first three from my side. General Matakata, maybe in terms of the finalization of the structure, because again in this presentation you're talking about an interim capacity. In terms of the internal process, the agreement on the new structure, what is the status of that? Can we get an indication when those interim status will be permanent? We must get assurance with regard to that. The second issue relates to integrity testing of the members of SANUP. It's quite critical that those members should be vetted at the highest level. Can we get the status of that process? And the third question is to General Masemola in his capacity as Deputy National Commissioner of Police. One thing that comes really through this presentation is the problem of illegal guns. It's a huge problem in the country and of course also a driver of violent crime and pure crime. Now the Portfolio Committee processed the past few months an application from SAPS with regard to the firearms amnesty. Now I want to know, did SAPS now abandon the process because we didn't receive any further referral from the speaker with regard to that? So if we can just get an indication, what is the intention of SAPS in relation to that? Honorable Molabatsi.
Thank you, Chairperson. The officers mentioned on slide 26, did they undergo a special training to perform this function? A second one, what brings about the most recoveries of firearms and ammunition in a particular area? Is it the hard work by the officers or the more proliferation of firearms in that area? What brings about this, the most firearms and ammunition recovery? My third one is on page 39. You speak of DNA and fingerprints examinations that you are still awaiting. Can we be told where is the hiccup? How long are you going to wait? Because the DNA results are crucial in the resolving of cases. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you,
Chairperson. No questions.
Honorable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for your presentation. In slide 9, on the interim capacity of national and provincial levels, I see Mpumalanga and Northwest. Why Mpumalanga is getting 6 and Northwest 10? Why is it less capacity? in slide 10, there is more arrest and less convictions. Why? In slide 45, you said that the DPCI is committed to proper establishment of the SANEB and NBIFCPVC to ensure the overall supply reductions. When is this going to happen? Because since 2016, the Honorable President announced for these structures to be in place, but up until now it's 2017. There's nothing that's happened. It's almost 2 years. Nothing is happening. What is the problem for not establishing these structures? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mula. Honorable Mushlongu.
No, thank you, Chair. Maybe, General, with regard to slide 11, when it comes to Western Cape, particularly as a drug-infested area, you have three laboratories that were dismantled under convictions, is recorded as nil. I don't know whether then we can then have an update on that, because it's important that we can actually then be assured that those that were arrested undergo the due process of court, so that we can actually then have a reduction in this scourge. Yeah. Then, lastly, when you go to slide 40, the last sentence refers to weapons that were meant for destruction. I don't know whether, because it is said they were found with a dealer. Is it a private dealer or what? And if they were meant for destruction, it means those weapons were retrieved from certain illegal owners and were stored in a particular police station. Has the police station been identified from where these weapons were actually then destined or stored meant for a destruction? And maybe then the head of police, South African police, General, will also come in to say what kind of an action has been taken, because, Chairperson, I think it is important now that as the committee, consequence management is actually strengthened, so that any wrongdoing or wrongs of police officers that are actually then bringing rot to dedicated men and women in the service are dealt with and taken out of the service. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to General Matakata and the team for the presentation. I mean, I think obviously the elephant in the room right now in dealing with these two units is our crime intelligence in crisis. We know what a dysfunctional environment that has been and currently is. So until we have stable and competent leadership in that division, the DPCI and the SAPS more broadly will simply not be able to firstly get a grip on, and then secondly reduce drug-related crime. That is the overarching cloud that is hanging over the whole issue. But to come to my three questions, Chair. First one, the provincial breakdown of the interim capacity, both for the two units, I was ranking them as we went through them. To my mind, at first glance, they seem irrational. Because if you look at the SANEB provincial allocations, the Western Cape has the fifth biggest allocation, tied with Limpopo. and the, I'm not going to say all those letters, the Firearms Control Bureau has the fourth largest allocation. Now, I do understand that Gauteng and KZN have the biggest populations, but one would think that the nexus of gangs and illegal firearm trafficking and drug syndicates and the links between them in the Western Cape would warrant its prioritization in terms of human resource allocation. So I would just like some explanation for that picture of what looks like irrational and arguably unjust human resource allocation, and the SAPs are currently fighting a court case in the Equality Court around that issue, and also to find out specifically if the seemingly deeply flawed theoretical human resource allocation guide is what was used to determine those allocations. My second question relates to the briefing the committee received from the DNA board yesterday, where we were told that there's a very big problem in making use of forensic leads that are given from the National Forensic DNA Database. So has the DPCI, and in particular these units, been using the forensic leads from hits off the DNA database? And in particular, because I know SAPS has co-responsibility, does the DPCI even get the referrals from the SAPS from the DNA database? Because as we heard, the provincial task teams that are meant to facilitate that coordination are not even in place. So if there's gaps in the chain and in the information flow and referral, that means DPCI is not getting the raw information they need to pursue leads and therefore conduct their investigations. So are you getting those forensic leads from the SAPs? Do you make use of them? And then my third question and last one for this round relates to the figures given in, or the breakdowns given in slides 27 to 37 around firearm recoveries. Have all of these firearms been firstly IBIS tested? Was that IBIS testing done within 7 days of the confiscation? And then were any of those firearms then able to be linked to either multiple dockets or to multiple crime scenes, because chances are one firearm will show up in different dockets and different crime scenes. Are we making those links and therefore strengthening the cases to be pursued for convictions in courts? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable. Honourable Market.
Thank you, Jefferson. My question is related to Honourable Bella's question. So there seems to be no correlation between the capacitation and what I might perceive it as hot spots in terms of provinces. And I just thought maybe this bureau deals with illegal firearms or maybe trafficking, only maybe. They don't deal with gangs and the firearms that are with the gangs. If that is not the case, then really doesn't make sense the way this unit has been capacitated. Yeah. And then on slide number 30, still the same thing, or are they dealing specifically with trafficking of firearms, not firearms in the hands of gangsters or something of that nature? Because if that is the case, the breakdown on slide number 30 and 31, it wouldn't make sense to me that you confiscate 16 pistols from the Western Cape and 642 from the Free State. Unless if we are talking about trafficking, I might say maybe they come from Lesotho, that's why maybe in Mpumalanga you might say they come from Mozambique. But if he includes all firearms that have been confiscated, this will definitely not make sense. It might make sense for one pistol in Limpopo because we don't usually use pistols in Limpopo. Maybe we use knives or something. Yeah, even knobkerries. So that would be my main question on that. And I think that is the only question I have. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mark. Honorable Kalibana.
Thank you, Chair. Finally, it does seem that the SAPs are starting to undo the enormous damage done by Jackie Celebi when he shut down all the specialized units. So it's a good start, but you've given no end date. By which time you believe these units will be fully functional, fully equipped, etc. So that's something that I think needs to be addressed. Starting with the drugs, the issue on the ground seems to be that youngsters are arrested still today for holding perhaps a single duffa cigarette, and they end up with a criminal record, rendering them unemployable, but boosting the station's arrest record. But the drug lords, on the other hand, are seen to be released from court over and over and over, out on bail, and then somehow cases disappear. They have massive resources in terms of lawyers and travel, meaning escape routes tied to international drug syndicates. So are you winning at that end? It's not the mass arrests of the tiny minnows. It's the big arrests, because we have nothing to compare with in the figures that you've given us. And are you working with the interventions that redirect first-time offenders in terms of these youngsters picked up with a single cigarette, perhaps, as a first-time arrest, and having them redirected, perhaps saving them from a life involved with crime? Obviously, the committee needs a full briefing on your national firearms strategy. So moving to firearms, with all due respect, reading out all these results without giving us comparative figures from previous years gives us absolutely nothing to judge you on. You could have done spectacularly well, or you could have done spectacularly badly, but we now have to go back and dig through past files to try and pin down the figures. So that immediately makes me think perhaps you didn't do that well at all. Because otherwise you would have been saying we've increased our arrest record by 60%. So that gives me a massive problem. On slide 26, you give us the numbers of officers, but nothing in terms, again, of what you hope to have, what you're building up to. Are you still short-staffed? Are you not short-staffed? On slides 27 to 37, you read out figure after figure after figure, no references of whether you've done better or worse than previous years. And you didn't tell us if the firearms you have recovered were ex-SAPS firearms. That's the big issue today. Are there SAPS firearms out there killing our police officers? You don't see fit to mention any of that. My colleague has already mentioned, have they been tracked down and perhaps closing 10 dockets because they were behind 10 robberies, 10 shootings, 10 whatever. We don't know, because you've kept us in the dark there. KwaZulu-Natal. During the first 6 months of the year, 250 firearms were confiscated, but that means 63% of all firearms confiscated were in that province. But what's really concerning is the fact of what they are. We're talking assault rifles, semi-automatics, commercial semi-automatics, AKs. So that is quite different to a revolver. These are firearms meant for mass destruction, and they're of significant concern. And considering, although I must congratulate you because it seems to be almost under control now, considering the murders at Gleevers, which became an almost daily occurrence, I'd like some input from you on where you think these firearms are coming from. Are they stolen from police stations? Are they brought across the border? Are they stolen from the army? And my final one for now is about the Northern Cape. Not a single laboratory dismantled, but this is the province with the highest number of convictions countrywide. So how did that happen? Are you convicting the big people, or are you convicting the minnows in that province? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Kalibana.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I want to start with a general remark, and I want to say that I'm of the opinion that if we're talking about drug trafficking, it is getting out of control in South Africa. I must be quite honest with this committee that I actually received at least 4 calls monthly about people complaining where police are involved with drug trafficking. Let me just give you an instance in Clarksdorp. I even handed over files from people who compiled them in private, giving the names and everything. In Bethlehem, for instance, in open daylight, the police used their vehicles to transport some of the drugs, handing it out openly in public where people can see it. And then I have serious questions, Jefferson. And if I look at the submission this morning, it appears that DPCI knows exactly what's going on. They've got have a good analysis of the 5 levels when we talk about illicit drug trafficking. So it's a good analysis. But if I look at the challenges, then I must read, for instance, on level 1, low quality operation, chasing statistics. No proper training, SAPs at station and cluster. On level 2, inadequate intelligence on storage facilities. Skilled investigation, limited. No proper training, SAPs at station and cluster. Specialized training needs not addressed. On level 3, specialized training needs not addressed. Training needs not addressed. So the challenge is actually is stating that there's not proper training. If you look at, and what I've read from is slide 7, for instance, if you look at all those challenges. So my question is, although you have identified these serious challenges, what are you doing about it? That's what I want. That's my first question. Secondly, Chairperson, if you look at the conviction rates on slide 12, as far as drugs are concerned, we see arrests 948, 160 convictions. That gives you a conviction rate of 16.8%. Only 16.8% of so many arrests. So my question is, and I can also add that as far as firearms is also concerned, from the 598 arrests, only 101 convictions. And that also gives you only 16.8% conviction rate. That was on slide 12 as far as drugs are concerned, and slide 29 when it comes to firearms. So my second question is, Jefferson, why do we have such a low conviction rate? Because it's quite clear, if you arrest a lot of people, there must be a good reason why you arrest them. I suppose they must have evidence, or there must be a very good reason before you arrest a person. But in the end, we have a low conviction rate. So my second question is, why do we have such a low conviction rate? My third question, Chairperson, is on slide 37. If you look at the totals when it comes to firearms, I just want to get to slide 37. If you look, for instance, at handguns, pistols, revolvers, okay, you can add shotguns and rifles, we're talking about 156 of the 396. The rest, Chairperson, 240, are assault rifles, R4s, R5s, semi-automatic rifles, AK-47s. the category of firearms which is not readily available. Private persons, for instance, are not actually allowed. In very, very exceptional cases, you will get a license for these type of firearms. But still, they are the far majority, 240 of the 398 firearms are actually assault rifles. Now my question is, where do they originate from? Because normally we say, well, firearms is a problem, so we target the legal firearm owners. We say that they are negligent. And then do we want to come with amnesty and stricter controls on firearms legislation and everything? But these group of firearms, I'd like to ask, that's my third question, where do they originate from? Is it our own, can I say, institutions, state organs that have these firearms under their control? Or where do they originate from? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Groenewald. Thank you, Honourable Members. General McArthur, over to yourself and your team for the responses. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members. Sorry. I will respond to the question that you asked on the finalization of the structure and also the reference to the interim capacitation. And I think some of the Honourable Members raised this question. As I indicated previously to the committee that the DPCI structure was approved in February by the former Minister of Police, and we were supposed to have implemented that structure, which is inclusive of this unit, part of the whole structure of DPCI. Now, as I indicated previously in terms of giving an update, that the implementation of the proof structure was put on hold because of the labor unions that have won a case in the labor court of some of the structures in the police, and therefore that there was no consultation with them about this. On making follow-ups on these issues, it would seem that there has not been a sitting to discuss the structures that are approved in the police and the DPCI structure within the SSSPC forum up until now. I even made inquiries on Monday to find out when are they sitting, because we need to implement the structure. We are currently functioning with a structure that is not approved, and it's affecting us terms of how we can move forward with the approved structure. I don't have the answer, Chair. I think at some point maybe, because the SSSPC is SEPS is the main role players that are sitting there with the labor unions. DPCI is not part of that forum. So maybe at some point the question needs to be posed from SEPS, when are they placing this matter of the structures that are approved within the SSSPC forum. So I don't have the answer to that. We're still functioning with a capacity that was interim, and hence the questions that are coming about the numbers as well. These are the numbers of members that are in existence currently. When we established the interim capacity, we took members that are within the environment. So it might seem that, say, for instance, the question around Western Cape speakers, that looks to be, especially on the SANEP, the narcotics, is small. But that is what is in existence. Out of the number of members that are focusing on all organized crime threats in the province. So that is just focusing on narcotics, not because we decided on a specific ratio to give Western Cape, but that is what was in existence based on the capacity, holistic capacity that is in the Western Cape. They are focusing on the narcotics, the same with the number of the members that are focusing on the firearms section or unit. We were fortunate to get the number of members that were working within the province dealing with the investigation that is a national investigation on firearms that went missing from the SAP 13 Gauteng that were found to be in the hands of gangs in the Western Cape. that capacity was redeployed to assist as a task team within the DPCI Western Cape and working with the existing number that was there that we had established. So the whole capacity within the Western Cape is focusing, as was a question asked about, on the gangs, in terms of we have been seeing and seeing the successes have been also communicated in the media space on the so-called underworld activities in the province. Those units, because it cuts across whether it's on narcotics or firearms, those issues are dealt with by the two units as a collective. So with what we have, we are really addressing the challenges that are facing the province. There was a question as well, if I may still on the capacities, because I need to touch on all the questions that refer to capacities, why the provinces have small capacities like Mpumalanga and Northwest. And again, because it's interim capacities, we took from what is available. Those provinces historically have small numbers of members. So the numbers, again, will be smaller and with what is currently there. But we will be focusing on the problems of narcotics and drugs. But when the structures are obviously approved, then we can have, you know, numbers that would be really addressing the prevalence of these problems in the specific provinces. But that also is something that OD within the organization is responsible for, to determine the actual numbers that we must have in the DPCI in these units. Then, Chair, your second question was around the integrity testing of these capacities. Besides the DPCI members, all of them have to be vetted and have a top security clearance. But we have within DPCI an integrity unit that is doing polygraphy of all our members. As and when they do polygraphy, and they've done this in the past year on these areas that we are critical for us, on the members that are working within these units. We do also random testing on drug and alcohol abuse besides your integrity testing. So those measures are in place to ensure that we have members that have integrity. Where we establish any issues, we address members or they get arrested if they're involved in any criminal activity. And then can I go to Honorable Mulibati's question, that I would take some of the questions and then the colleagues on the left-hand side will deal with some of the questions. The question you asked was, what brings about the recovery of firearms? Is it hard work or the proliferation of the firearms? In most instances, it's more about the work and the information that comes, that you will be directed to get the firearms. And in some instances, it's through investigations that you be able to get some information that leads you to the firearms, where they are, and what type of crime probably has been committed. We've been dealing with the issues of CITs, armed robberies, so mostly you would get those firearms in those instances. And through investigation, further investigation, would be directed to get where are some of these firearms located. Then I will ask General to take all these other questions that are referring to operational issues. I'll deal with them at a later stage.
Thank you, General Duabo. You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. I think the topic of training came, you know, more than once. So regarding training, as DPCI, we already started with training of our own members. And we are not only training our own DPCI members. We are calling on CI, crime intelligence members, including visible policing members. We started already Limpopo, we are done, and we are busy with Free State. We are moving on a from province to province, because we want all the members working on this firearm to be on the same page. So we'll also embark on training on the SANEP side, and we are not only focusing on our own members, because we realize that if we only focus on our own members, it means we will not be having this multidisciplinary approach. So those members that we work with, we make sure that we also train them. And then let me move to DNA and fingerprint examination. The reaction time is not upon us, but we are in communication, constant communication with the generals working at the FSL, so and the laboratories. I also had an opportunity to meet General Ngoka during February this year to say, can you please prioritize our DPCI matters? And he was very clear to say he is willing, only if we give the case numbers, he will. And I did on several occasions. When I know that the case was ready for trial, I just SMS'd him, and he will just respond quickly and say, we are busy working on that one, and I will be making follow-ups, continuous follow-ups, and as a result, I'm getting a positive feedback from him. Also looking at why so many arrests with less convictions, we are working together with the NPA. Actually, the magistrate is upon them. How far is their court roll, or how big is their court roll? So we are also working together with them to ensure that we have convictions, because our side, we are really bringing our side on arresting.
Sorry, Chief. Can I then ask, of the number of arrests, how many of those arrests, dockets, are still awaiting for trial? Can I get that figure then, please?
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Groenewald. The number of arrests is here on my presentation. So immediately after arrest, we take the cases to court, and that will be determined by deducting the number of convictions that we have presently at hand to minus from the ones that we already arrested. So it will, I can, after this meeting, quickly calculate, because the numbers are here, the figures are here in front of us.
Sorry, Chair, I just want clarity on the issue. So do I understand, it's a simple calculation to subtract it. So do I understand that the answer is that the rest are still going to be going through the process and convicted, so by the end of this financial year, we will see how far the previous one was. So can I ask, for the previous year, how many of those dockets has been brought over to the 2016-17 financial year?
Thank you so much, Honorable Groenewald. I think we will give the answer. We will have to take time and make some calculations and to give the previous year and this year, because this is ongoing. The court processes are ongoing. So I'll have to give feedback in writing. And then regarding the firearms, questions of firearms found in compared with the 642 recovered in Free State, it's because it was one firearm dealer where we managed to grab a large number of firearms at once. So that is why the difference. I don't think we have a challenge with the FSL. I've dealt with that one. We are in constant communication with them. And the testing of firearms, after receiving those firearms, after we seize those firearms, what we do is the procedure. We send them for ballistic testing. So the linkages will also be emanating from those results of ballistic testing. We already dealt with the draft on the National Firearms Strategy, so I can make time next time to come and present it in this forum. Thank you so much.
General Masumola.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson and members. With regard to the the question by the chairperson on the amnesty, we have already did process documents. Currently, they are between the office of the minister and the Speaker of Parliament. So that's the feedback I can give for now.
Thank you, General. But I think judging from that, that means then that the amnesty date will move on. Because it still needs to come back to this committee and to the House. So we're talking about possibly only Parliament approving in February of 2018 in terms of the process. But thanks for that update. Members, we will go to the second round and follow up.
Sorry,
yes, yes.
Just
is there questions outstanding? General Matakatas, thank you, members.
Thanks, Chair. There are questions that are still outstanding we didn't respond to.
Chair, I just had a two-finger on what you were just discussing. I don't know if you want me to. It's about the amnesty.
We can come back to that. Okay. Let's just
That's
get
fine.
The responses. Thank you.
Yes. Thanks, Chair. Honorable Mhlongo asked about Flight 8, Western Cape, in terms of three labs that were closed down. Western Cape has been actually contributing to the closing down of labs in Gauteng. There are information and intelligence between the DPCI and Western Cape Crime Intelligence has led them to be the ones who would be closing down labs in Gauteng area. So mostly the labs that they have been able to close down were in Gauteng. It's not the three, because now those labs can't reflect on the Western Cape steps. They will reflect on Gauteng steps because they work upstream in terms of making sure the supply doesn't come to the province. Hence, they would be able to close down some labs in Gauteng. Then there was a question around the by Honorable Cora Barnett in terms of the interventions and the first-time arrest in terms of drug possession. Unfortunately, we are not dealing with those matters in terms of arresting people for drug possessions at the lower level of the supply chain that we had demonstrated. Ours is to deal with the labs, chemicals that are coming through the country and those who are supplying the drugs in the country. So I have that understanding as well in terms of just policing at station levels. Many people are arrested for possession and end up with the criminal records. But we, in the value chain of the drugs, we deal rather with the supply and the chemical labs the chemicals and the labs as such. So I'm not going to be able to indicate what are the interventions from our side, but for us, in terms of the work and the mandate, we have to deal with those who are supplying those drugs. There are questions, General, that we have not responded to from Honorable Groenewald in terms of the slide where he wanted to know these assault rifles, the origin thereof. Where are they coming from? 240 on slide 37 that he referred to. But I think if we don't have that, with some of the information we would be able to provide to indicate what are the origins of all these assault rifles that we have indicated on the slide.
Thank you, Chair. Firearms like AK-47, they are not South African made. So they are obviously not from South Africa. also from outside countries, our neighboring SADC countries. That is the answer that I have. Thank you.
Maybe on the R5s and the R1s, I think the members raised. I mean, is in the FSAPs, what is the origin of that?
That is a good question. I think we have to go back and check on them as to whether they are police firearms or they are from SANDF firearms from all the recoveries that we had, because what we did was just to classify them under different categories.
Follow up on Honourable Bona, on that response, yes.
No, Chief, seriously. They've come here to give us a presentation on their achievements. Do you really think we have to believe that they didn't imagine we would want to know that whether these firearms are from the SAPs or not? I mean, it's the most basic question someone at school would be asking, and yet they don't know the answers. It just tells me something's being hidden away from us. We should know if these firearms were from the SAPs. And now, oh no, we have to go back and find out. How do you come to Parliament and not have the answers to these questions? I'm quite stunned.
Mushlongu, thank you, Honourable Kalabana.
Jay, I asked a question based on slide 40. You know, if you read the last sentence, firearms that were destined for destruction and had been illegally diverted from the destruction process were also found at the premises. This is a very key question, noting that we are talking also here of amnesty. And here are the firearms that were destined for destruction. I asked the question, from which station were these firearms actually then, as they were destined for destruction, they were placed in a certain police station. Has that police station been actually identified? Because remember, Chair, as we were discussing firearms amnesty, we were given few stations to say, in these stations, these are the stations that have been identified nationally as incapacitated stations. It's important that we get to know from which station were these firearms taken. And so that we can also, and that's why then I said, can then the South African police tell us of what consequence management has taken place insofar as that is concerned? Because the person will recall that in our last meeting, I personally requested that the general responsible who's driving this amnesty must come down also himself to give us national instruction to say, if we are told that firearms have been lost in a particular police station, what are the national instructions? So that we are not actually bogged down that there are investigations, Heads must roll to say, Officer so-and-so, you were supposed to be responsible for this. You were negligent in your duties. Therefore, you must go. Because if we don't do that, we will continue having members protecting one another and have this vicious cycle, actually, and our people paying a huge price because of certain dishonesty by certain members. Thank you.
Thank you, General. Yeah, I mean, the narrative from the members, General, is, I mean, you're a specialized unit. You need to have the finger of your tips. This is the origin, SAPs, SA, India, foreign. Let's get the response, General.
Thank you, Honorable Mthongo. 2,000 firearms were destined for destruction, and they were stolen at head office by our former Colonel, Colonel Prinsloo, and he was sentenced to 18 years. And it is not the end. We did not recover all those firearms. Many of these firearms are still outside with the criminals. So, but more firearms were recovered with the gangs in Western Cape and in Gauteng. Thank you so much, Honorable.
Yeah, maybe just again we get maybe assurance from Matakata in terms of the origin of the high caliber that we can maybe before Friday, before we rise as a committee, get those details. Because it's important to gather. I mean, for instance, if it's from the SANDF, then we know we must talk to that committee, that more, you know,
measures can be taken that we can just determine that.
Thank you, Chair. We will do that. We'll give the report by Friday of all these high caliber firearms that and their origin, where they come from. We'll do so. Thanks.
Can we move maybe to the other responses? Is there any responses, outstanding members?
So, the Chair, I missed the response on the challenges. I didn't get a clear answer. Specific referred to the five levels of the drugs.
Thank you, Chairperson. The challenges that were identified were identified in terms of the whole organization, in terms of this value chain that we're talking to. And the question was, what are we doing about it? First of all, the organization, and I'm sure this process will be revitalized with the appointment of the National Commissioner, because in the organization we're supposed to have the organized crime threat approach that is looking at from station level in terms of the drugs and all other organized crime crimes or threats that are there in terms of the different levels. If we are having at the station level, they are focusing on the outlets informed obviously by the threat analysis, the different levels in terms of what investigation levels will take place there, and then at the cluster level, at the lower level scale, what are they doing in terms of those who are dealing in that area, supplying those outlets, and therefore it goes up until to the DPCR. So that process has not taken off in the organization. And it was once introduced by General Saul when he was a Deputy National Commissioner, which can really inform us on the understanding of the threat of drugs, how at different levels we're dealing in the value chain of the drugs and understanding that threat in the province. So from station level, your responsibility upwards to the DPCI, how are we dealing with the threat of drugs in the country as such. So those are the challenges that are there. There's reference, obviously, to the intelligence adequacies in terms of the understanding of that value chain and the threat itself and who does what at this level. So all these things are there, but one of them, I'm just picking certain of these issues, there's reference to special courts that are not in existence. There are provinces that have been asking. For instance, Western Cape has a dedicated court in Khayelitsha where the investigations of the detectives at the provincial level and DPCI are getting that priority at that court. And in other provinces, it's been also a challenge that has been, because then if you go to the lower court, the role is bogged down and the cases are not, you know, turned around faster. So those are some of the challenges within the value chain in the criminal justice system that we were trying to point out that needs to be looked into. The skilled investigations that is limited, obviously, because there's never been specialization for years in terms of investigating the drugs and understanding the drugs that are coming into the market and how to investigate, because those units were, specialized units were stopped long time ago. So that specialization was not there for years. So those are the things that we were saying now. We need to ensure that there's training to that effect from station level upwards, not only at DPCI, because that's where you lose some of these cases if there's no specialized training that is given to the different members. So those are some of the issues that I can refer to.
Thank you, Chair. I understand what he said, and I said it's a good analysis. So these are the challenges, the threats and everything. But still, I understand DPCI, I mean, it's not their responsibility, for instance, on station level to do the train. My question, and what I meant from my question is, okay, we've identified these challenges. How does it get into the system? But maybe we must get the commissioner, the new commissioner, to come and tell us what he's going to do to ensure that these challenges identify, that they are addressed, because these are serious challenges. You can't do your job if you look at these challenges. Thank you.
Well, maybe to make a practical example and maybe to understand the work of SANA. Say for instance, drug, traffickers would concentrate on big events. Say for instance, the Plet Rage that's taking place this week in Plettenberg Bay, the Western Cape, where all your matriculants are going. So that's a target market for them. Now the question is, from a proactive point of view, is that the station commander of Plettenberg Bay as it is in Durban, or do you at a strategic level, your analysts say, well, this event's over, the festival season is taking place. We assume that there's going to be a concerted effort to sell drugs, so on and so on. Who is doing that? That's the question the members want to ask. I mean, because holistically, the Klerksdorp example, is it the cluster, is the province? Who is taking that responsibility? Because I think some of your successes, and I think the committee welcomes, is based on tip-offs of members of the public. Of course, CI must also assist. But who's doing that holistic analysis of the threats and how to deal with them?
Thanks,
Jay.
For any event, taking the example now, crime intelligence does the analysis and will be able to indicate what's the intelligence they're picking around that, looking at all the threats that obviously might impact on the. But all of us have a role to play. Obviously, the station will, in terms of its deployment, looking at what normally happens at those events. DPCI, Detective Services, we all have a specific role to play, but we would know perhaps who are the people who will be supplying those drugs at those events. And that's our target. But we are also on the ground with crime intelligence to look at any of such activities where drugs are being sold and so on. But all of us have a specific role to play. And having an understanding what is your specific role, the station having deployed but is looking at also any kind of activity, criminal activities, whether it's people who are being who are selling drugs to the to whoever is attending that event.
General Masumola, thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson and members. I think we would know that we, for some time, we did not have specialized units, and we now do have organized crime within the detectives. About 3 weeks ago, we had a meeting where we were resuscitating the OCTA, that is the Organized Crime Threat Analysis. So what we are doing, Chairperson, is to make sure that we're going to cascade this from ground level and then it goes up so that we know exactly what's happening where through the organized crime threat analysis. And, of course, the stations currently, they do arrest the runners. That's very true. And we have realized that the runners, we keep on recirculating them. We intend making targets to station commanders in the closing of outlets, because we realize that there is a problem that because of maybe the way we designed our key performance indicators, stations keep on making sure that they always have somebody to arrest for drugs without taking the real dealers. So we want to change and task them to deal with, not to say to leave the runners that they've got one or two slopes, no, but we want them to at least a week report on how many outlets they have closed so that we know that we can end up finishing this. One might say maybe the way we are measuring their performance might somehow, I don't say it's happening, they might somehow maybe encouraging them to always have a source for drugs so that they can produce for us in terms of arresting these runners. So we want to change and look at more this the dealers, the people that are selling the drugs. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, General Masumola, for that input. Members, is there any questions outstanding? Let's go to the second round. Any follow-up? Yes. Let's start at the back, Honourable Koda Bona.
Thank you, Chair. The first one was the two finger that I had in terms of the firearm amnesty. I want to know an assurance. Considering how strongly the SAPs have been pushing almost trying to hustle us through this committee, this amnesty for for reasons unknown. I want an assurance that they have not gone ahead and ordered the banners and the pamphlets and the advertising and the TV ads and the radio ads all with the wrong date, which now have to be redone, because that would be a massive waste of finance. I'd just like some word on that, please. And then a couple of questions. As convictions are obviously not in the control of the SAPs, the arrests, there were no real arrests made in terms of, for example, the Northern Cape, in terms of illegal firearms. And somehow that's just not changing. I'm very concerned about this business of, and we were told, and I'm quoting now, that the deployment of staff to various provinces was an historical decision. When historical? Surely deployment of staff to provinces is determined 100% on the levels of crime in that province as a response to that. So I found that a very confusing statement to that we were given. And I'd like clarity on that. Are you saying that we're sitting with some historical imbalance from 25 years ago, or are you saying that, I don't know what you're saying, because I can only imagine that staffing is determined by levels of crime. And it's totally disproportionate in the numbers you've given to provinces and in terms of the amount of crime which would be dealt with by those specific units. Chair, I think I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And then Honourable Groenewald, to Honourable
Thanks very much, Chairperson. I think it's just one question, actually, from my side for this round, and it flows from the response by General Matakata, that the structural constraints they're obviously operating within is what management decisions are made in the SAPs, broadly speaking, and therefore whatever obstacles they encounter, be it from the labor unions, be it from national treasury baseline budget cuts, whatever the case might be, and the DPCI is kind of trapped in there like a, I don't know, like a hamster in a cage. So the specific question I have, because I do know that as per the SAPS Act, there's supposed to be a substantive consultation process between the head of the DPCI, or the acting head in this case, and the National Commissioner around the post-establishments for the DPCI. It's within the SAPS establishments, but it's ring-fenced in a way, and there's supposed to be consultation and negotiation around what that final figure is. And given the reduction in the SAPS post-establishments from this financial year and the likely incremental reduction for the foreseeable future, what has been the impact of that, I'd like to ask from the General, on the DPCI, and what is foreseen to be the ongoing impacts, likely adverse, although if you're creative enough, you can compensate for that, going forward, given that on the one hand we're needing these specialized units and other sections of the DPCI to actually expand and be more capacitated, but the bigger picture is that we're seeing shrinkage. Could we just get some elaboration on that, please? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Chair,
yeah, on slide 42, the National Firearms Strategy. On the sub-outcomes, I can ask a question on all four of them, but can I just get an indication on the fourth one, the improved international cooperation against firearm proliferation? What do we mean by that?
Thank you. Honourable Mark, anything in the last round? Anything you... Okay. Honourable Mutlungu, are you covered?
No, based on the earlier response by the head of the BCI, maybe with regard to the consolidated structure, by when maybe can we have this structure kicking on the ground, looking into the various challenges that are there? And maybe, Chairperson, I don't know as to whether maybe we can be appraised of what General Cruz raised earlier on, that seemingly, I think you'll recall that there was this question when we were talking about the number of illegal firearms confiscation, when we were given the earlier report by DPCI, which was very low, particularly here in the Western Cape, where General Cruz was raising that with them as subs, they've got an established capacity. If maybe we can have a kind of a clue of that working relationship between DPCI and that organ within the subs, how far has it gone, so that we can actually have a grip. I'm very much worried because here in the Western Cape, if you look in the number of incidents, it's quite worrisome, and it tells us that somehow we are losing the battle here. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Mula. You covered, Honourable Bicha. You covered, Honourable Molabatsi.
Thank you, Chairperson. The issue of collusion of SAPS members and drug dealers keeps on rearing its head in our communities. How true is this? And how many have you arrested so far? I mean, SAPS members. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Markey, you've indicated you want a second bite.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairperson. I just forgot on the establishment of the units. It was said that negotiations are still going on with the unions and so on. So it means everything it's on hold. And there's the court case and so on. Just to clarify myself, then are we to wait until there are negotiations? And are the units themselves funded? Because it's a situation of simply shifting people who are already there to capacitate the units. I just want to understand, Tori, where are we? What do we expect from now? Are we just to wait until that is sorted out? Or is there any way in which we can help as Parliament to get the wheel rolling in relation to this? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. The last two questions from my side is just maybe, we also alluded to that last week in terms of international cooperation. I just wanted to know in terms of the SUNUP environment, whether there is comprehensive maybe bilaterals or multilaterals agreements with other jurisdictions to ensure that there's cooperation. And then also in terms of training of members, because it's a specialized field, new technology, new methodology by syndicates come to the fore, and it means that the DPCI must be kept abreast of new developments. Are they able to, be able to prevent and also confiscate what's coming into the country? So I just want to get an indication, is there also a concerted program to ensure that the training is on international standards and is there cooperation on bilateral and multilateral level? Members, that's the questions. Thank you. General?
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe I should start from the last one that you raised, the two questions, if I may start from there. The international cooperation with the other law enforcement agencies. We do have cooperation with various countries on drug trafficking. We have cooperation on operations that we do locally in the country. We have cooperation on information that is exchanged between ourselves and on those countries, on either drugs that are coming through where and so on, and we also exchange information and so on. But mostly it's on cooperation on operations that we do together and the information that is shared. Thirdly, the cooperation in terms of training. We do get training from the various countries. We do also, through attending conferences internationally, we get the exposure and understanding the trends and exchange of information and so on. So that is in existence, that we have that kind of work that we are doing with the international law enforcement agencies of various countries. And then if I work my way again back to Honorable Marquez's question on the finalization or implementation of this structure in the labor organization. And as I indicated, Chair, that it would assist greatly. I've not had that opportunity to talk to the National Commissioner now appointed, but I did talk to the Divisional Commissioner for HRU to get an understanding when are they sitting together within the SSSBC forum to raise and place on the agenda the issues of structure, because it's affecting DPI. I'm speaking on myself, but it's all other structures that are put that this is not yet placed and there's no discussion yet. And I even asked when can they meet, when are they in sitting. I have no answer to that. And I would love to, maybe before it is even escalated to this level, that at least the National Commissioner can have that kind of here, and therefore even understanding when is this matter of the structure going to be placed before that forum, and that it's finalized, so that we can really start with the implementation of the structure. The funding part of the question is that our budget is located, of the units, is located within the whole broad organized crime structure, because the units fall under the organized crime environment. So the budget is there that is supporting these members. And as I indicated, these are members that have been in the DCI, existing within the organized crime space, and therefore the budget is within. There's no specific budget that is set aside, if I may put it like that. There's a budget for organized crime, but it's for the different sections within organized crime. sorry, if I may also, I think I will answer also the question raised by Honorable Song on the structure as well, the consolidated structure and the challenge thereof. We are currently working with the numbers that I said are there in existence in terms of the DPCR. You raised the same question, Honorable Mbele, about the structural constraints and whether the decisions that are affecting DPCI. It is like that because DPCI is still established within the SEPS amended Act. We are obviously have to align ourselves with all the policies and the regulations within the organization. So this being one of the issues that we have to wait for the relevant structures or divisions within the organization that will place the matter within SSSBC with labor union. And it's affecting DPCI as well, not necessarily only there, but because of that reason. Therefore, we are constrained in terms of we are established within the SEPS Amendment Act. So some issues we have to be obviously regulated by the organization's policies and regulations. Yes, there is a consultation that has to take place between the acting national head and the national commissioner on anything in terms of the figures of TPCI. Structurally, we are also supported by OD within SEPS. They do all that work for us, and they determine the structure based on how they do
that, and therefore it is based on what, in terms of the kind of work they do in determining the structures and the capacities, but there has to be that discussion, and there was that consultation with DPCI at the time. The only thing we still wanted from them was this breakdown of these units to the lowest level, that we need that, and we have to have that discussion and take into consideration all variables that can really be giving us a true reflection of the kind of numbers that we would want to see within these units.
Two fingers there, if I may.
I'm
very concerned about what we're hearing, that everything the DPCI does, which is supposed to be an independent, standalone, wonderful unit that replaced the Scorpions, and everything they do is determined by the SAPs. All their staffing, their structure, their layout, their everything. So actually, they're just another unit of the SAPs. It's absolutely bizarre what we're hearing.
Maybe just on that thing, Honorable Kota Barnard, I don't think you were with us at that stage. Remember, the Portfolio Committee has now for 2 years in a row recommended that the DPCI should become a separate program. Even a budget vote, separate budget vote. So, and the support also, I think, from the Finance Committee on that issue. So we were going to pursue it, and SAPS must still come back to us on our recommendations. So we'll definitely pursue that matter going forward. Right. You can continue with the other responses, Chairman Carter.
And then the question by Honorable Kola Barnard that wanted me to clarify what I meant earlier in terms of the capacities that are, the interim capacities that are existing and the figures and what was I meant by historical information. If we can just remember that especially the organized crime and commercial crime components of the DPCI, where those that were in existence years back in the SAPS as organized crime and commercial. So those people and the numbers were migrated into DPCI, and historically, I would say it, the organization had, in terms of the structure of provinces, not just DPCI, provinces. There were provinces that were regarded as small provinces. You would have your bigger provinces, four, that were looked as main big provinces. Even structurally, and the capacities were in that way. Those provinces had big structures in the organization. And therefore, in the same breath, with those units that were in existence in the set as organized crime and commercial, the same happened. You would have four provinces having bigger numbers in terms of organized crime and commercial, and the small, so-called small provinces have a smaller number. So that is what we had inherited as CDCR that is currently sitting with us at this point in time, that we had numbers that are smaller in those provinces that were regarded then as small, and those that were regarded as big provinces, large numbers. So that was what I meant. With the new approved structure, there's a difference in terms of how we look at it. We don't have small or big provinces anymore. We have to look at the prevalence of crime and even the appointments that have been made in DPCI of the head are not in small provinces referred to as brigadiers. They're all generals. We are doing away with these small and big provinces. So the numbers will be obviously better and improved for those provinces. They're still suffering, and that's why we have smaller numbers in those provinces. We have not been able to appoint people because DPCI has been said, you don't have a structure. You're still functioning as what was then. So that's why we're waiting eagerly for this structure that hasn't been approved, so that we can, you know, stop that imbalance and have the numbers as supposed to be.
Other responses?
Thank you so much. I think this one is the last one from Honorable Kola Barnard. She was talking about the no arrest in Northern Cape. And that one is true. It is determined by the low levels of crime in the province. So So that is the answer that I can give. Thank you.
I just want to remind the question of Honorable Groenewald about the meaning of the proliferation of the farm, the improved. Thank you, General.
Rabasi, can you just, please?
Mine was not responded to about the collision of and any arrest of SAPS members in that regard.
Thank you so much. Let me start with the one for Honorable Groenewald on slide 42. I think partly General Matagata alluded to this one on the improved international cooperation against this firearm proliferation. I'm also glad to say next year, 2018, we'll be hosting BRICS and we'll be chairing that meeting. So we are continuing in this cooperation. We are communicating, and even before we were, before this BRICS meeting, we had previous meetings with BRICS where we attended in China and other countries, where we are talking about improving our collaboration and sharing intelligence, real-time intelligence. And I can even say some of the successes that we have is because of this collaboration. If we can quote some of them with the neighboring countries like Nigeria, we talk and they will tell us where to go, and we arrest the people. Like the example where we arrested the Dutch, two Dutch internationals here in Western Cape. So we are continuing, but we still want to continue to improve going on with this bilaterals, because when we have these meetings with BRICS, we have an opportunity to sit and have these bilaterals, and one-on-one is working for us. Thank you.
General, but I think Honorable Groenewald, I don't speak on his behalf, but he meant specifically with regard to firearm proliferation. I mean, in terms of the neighboring countries, the sources, and also other countries, what is the game plan for the DPCI in that regard?
If I may say, there's various forums that we would be working with in international cooperation on the proliferation, whether in the region or elsewhere, through the SARCO engagements, where we're working with the countries within region in terms of the firearms, knowing these firearms come through this region, or whatever country in the region. So that means that the focus, because this is talking to our focus in terms of the firearm strategy, will be also making sure there's that improvement of us cooperating so that we ensure there's no proliferation of firearms coming through the country from outside the country. So there are countries that we are working on with and through even the region in SARCO with other countries, so that we ensure that this we improve and we ensure, because this is one of the focus areas of DPCI.
Right. Other responses?
In terms of the collusion, Honorable Molibati, we are arresting members of SEPS through either these two units in the work that they're doing, as well as through our corruption investigation unit that is solely focusing also on corruption and corrupt members within the JCPS cluster, police being part of that section. So within the corruption investigation section of the DPCI, we are mandated to investigate
members within the JCPS cluster, and through the work of these two units, we are also arresting members that are involved in collusion. But we can give the figures of financially and up to now, how many members have been arrested who have been involved and colluded in terms of drugs and firearms as well. We can give those kinds of statistics, but we do have those arrests.
Just, and maybe the steps taken.
On the same issue?
Yes, it's on the same issue, Chair. Maybe General can just appraise us, Chair. You recall, Chairperson, when we met with IPID, particularly on O.R. Tambo International, the executive director once raised the question of Hawks members there versus South African police in a tough fight for control over a drug syndicate or cycle there. How far that process has gone, so that maybe even when we meet with IP, they may as well appraise us on that, because that was quite shocking. You recall when they were talking about that brigadier or whoever who had been said to have committed suicide with a bullet underneath the chin and on the other side, when they raised this matter, so that we can actually be clearer. Even within members of Hawks, if there are members that are involved in this, we better then as a committee be given a clarity so that we actually clean the slate and flush out these rogues within the system.
Right. Thank you, Honourable Member. Can we have the other responses, because I want to close the session?
Thanks, Chair. Just a follow-up that came from Honourable Malibater in terms of steps taken. On all members that are arrested in the organization, there are disciplinary steps, a process that is separate to the criminal investigation that is taken. So if there are any members arrested, the relevant station, unit, or any environment has to follow through with the disciplinary processes. Then lastly, the one of IPID, I think I've never received a report from them about that investigation. I also read it in the media. But if there's that kind of investigation that points to that, I'm sure IPID, because we do have bilateral engagement on investigations, will refer that matter to us in terms of for us to be able to investigate as well and support them in the members of DPCI that might be involved in any corrupt activities at the airport. Thank you.
There was just one issue still outstanding from Honourable Kaudavana to General Samola on the T-shirts.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and members. We will not rush. We'll patiently wait until there is a date, then we can then embark on expenditure. Thank you.
Thank you very much to General Matakata and the team for the update on the two units. Thank you for the Honourable Members also for their input. I think it's important that we take note of the successes during this last 4 months by the DPCI, especially the increase in the confiscation of illegal firearms. That's a good sign, so we need further successes in that regard. I think the big issue is still the finalization of the structure. So I think from the PC on police, we must also take up that discussion with the new National Commissioner, but also invite the two unions in January, Kokkul and Sapu, so that we can also engage, because it's quite critical that those units should be established, the staff structures should be finalized. We can't have this interim structure. So whatever the process is with regard to HR, it must be sorted out so that there can be confidence in the new system going forward. I think a lot of the issues raised by the members, it's quite clear we need a separate budget vote. That is quite critical for the DPCI to be focused, to ensure that they can make quick decisions and also function effectively. So that process we will again highlight as we go into the new year. And then, of course, the eyes is on the DPCI as the permanent unit focusing on crime and corruption. And it's important that the DPCI continue with that task unabated without feel favour, and we'll monitor that process is going forward. So thank you very much, honourable members and the DBCI. We'll take a 10-minute tea break, and then we'll come back for the Western Cape for their two presentations. Thank you.
I'm good, thanks. I'm serious.